You're listening to the Jesus Culture Podcast, part of the Jesus Culture Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Jesus Culture Podcast. Always love having you join us wherever you may be. As most of you would know, we have a real heart just to come alongside you and encourage you in your walk with God, but really see you grow in who God's called you to be and what He's called you to do, both of those things. I'm Benny Leibscher, the director and lead pastor of Jesus Culture, joined always
by Becky Johnson, co-pastor of the Jesus Culture Podcast.
We're like
co-host.
I called myself
the co-pastor of the podcast.
Co-pastor, yes. We're like, what was that morning show with Kelly Ripa?
Oh, Regis? Live with Regis and Kelly?
We're like Live with Regis and Kelly. No?
Can I be Regis?
Maybe. It's a long time ago.
And I'm the youth pastor of Jesus Culture Sacramento, which I just love.
Love. You love everything about
They've been on this youth pastor journey with me. They send me comments, and I have fellow youth pastors who are in the trenches, and they sympathize with me.
In pain with you. Yes. We're excited about this episode coming up. We have probably had some lame episodes, but I would never say we got a lame episode coming up. We did this episode. It's actually not that good.
This is a mediocre episode coming at you.
So, but today, genuinely, we have a great non-mediocre episode coming up. Our great friend, Chad Veach, who is the pastor and founder.
That's right. Of Zoe Church.
Zoe Church in LA. He's going to be joining us in just a short amount of time. We're excited to be able to sit down and interview him about life and leadership. And
we're going to pick his brain. As much as I hate that phrase, pick your brain.
Pick your brain. Kind of drastic. Can I tell you, I'm excited about having Chad come on. Chad's a friend. We love Chad. Been with us. Was just with us at our youth conference. And really encouraged by what God's doing in his life and in LA. Excited to dive in. But, and am I allowed to be like podcast honest?
Yes, you can.
I'm a little bit intimidated today, mainly because Chad's game, along with some other game, but Chad's Instagram game...
It is on point.
It's not even the amount of followers either, right? No, there's a handful of people in my life who, when I look at their Instagram pictures, I feel worse, not about my life, I feel worse about my Instagram pictures. So I like... When I look at them, I don't feel like my life isn't that good. I look at them and think, my pictures on Instagram suck.
Oh, it's so true.
And it's not even like people have a, like Nate Edwardson up in Reading, who's a great friend, is stirring. Like every picture he takes, I'm like, Nate, what are you like?
No, he's
it's
like
just a natural creativity.
Yeah, he's like at Target with his daughter, and it looks like
yes, I'm like that's
beautiful.
The coolest.
It makes me want to cry.
I want to frame that picture and put it in my office. We were. This is the honest truth with Nate. We were on a boat in the San Francisco Bay. We were doing like kind of this little leaders gathering, and we were out on this boat. It was this dinner kind of boat, and we were going underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. It's this really amazing moment. So like we take a picture, and then Nate's on the same boat with the same angle,
same
with
phone.
The same scenery, with the same phone, and he comes over. He goes, look at the picture I just took. I was like... How are we even in the same location? How did you just take that picture? So some people just naturally are cooler, more creative.
I think it must be. I thought, yeah, I'm not good at it either. I have the same thing where I'm like, I look at people, I'm like, I try to take pictures of my kids and it just doesn't quite look like what I see in my head. I'm like, no, that looks dumb.
So here's my appeal. Chad, Nate, all the other ones that just naturally are cool in their Instagram game.
I think they practice.
Maybe, but listen, this just happened. I kid you not.
They take night classes.
I've kind of felt a little bit like...
They take night photography
they
classes.
They have to.
I'm going
to
ask him.
Now, listen, I genuinely... We've talked a lot about social media. Social media is a wonderful thing. And then also, you should not be comparing your life to anybody on social media. But... I will say that I've been like, you know what? I need to up my social media photo game. So I either am now getting our team to send me photos that they professionally took.
Oh, my gosh.
Or like I'm like only sending it to people and saying, will you filter this or help me out? Or I'm really trying to focus on this. So this happened like the last, and I don't do a ton of posts. I am really, really random on social media. But anyways, I literally had a guy on some old post of I took a picture of my computer screen because I was watching... A friend of mine here in Sacramento who was on the news, so I took a picture of him on my computer screen, and I just had a guy post yesterday. He said, wow, your newer pictures have really improved. I really noticed a pretty big improvement with your latest pictures. Good job on the effort or something like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then here's the problem. I'm trying to be Insta-cool. Like, I'm trying to be Insta-creative. Oh,
this is really good podcast, honestly.
I'm trying to be Insta-creative. But here's the problem, and I think with Chad and all these guys, I really do think there's just a natural kind of creativity. Like Nate, he's not trying that hard.
No, there are. Yeah,
he's just creative. He's totally got an eye. The problem is when I do it, I have to work so hard, and almost always, if there's a cool picture on my Instagram, it's because somebody else somewhere on our team that I'm in charge of helped me do it.
And then let's not even get into the captions, because that's a whole nother.
Takes me 45 minutes to come up with like the perfect two sentence. And this is part of my problem with social media is I'm like, dude, it just takes so much time. Are people really sitting around all day long doing this?
I think you struggle more than most, Banning. But there's freedom for you. That's why we're bringing Chad on.
Here's
He's going to mentor you off
the problem. It's
off
not,
mic.
It's not just social media now. I'm finding like in our neighborhood, we live in this kind of little more yuppie posh
suburbia
type thing. So we're in this really great little neighborhood and trees everywhere and everybody's really, it's great. It's a great neighborhood. We're blessed to be there. But I never hang up lights, and I may have talked about this on the podcast, but I finally
like Christmas lights.
I'm going to hang up lights. So I go to the effort. We hang up lights and they're like, and then everybody else hangs up lights and I'm like, well, how'd you get those in a straight line? How did you like, and like everybody else's lights are better than our lame lights. And it makes me want to go like, I just won't try next year.
Banning.
I just won't try. Like my lights aren't as creative and cool as everybody else's.
And people help you dress. I think this is a pattern here, Banning.
It's a pattern.
I don't know that you're cool.
Well, I'm really glad that Chad's coming on. I literally am not going to talk about not one spiritual thing on the podcast today with Chad.
I want to know what apps are you using to edit your photos.
What filter are we going through? What's cool and not cool? Like how many times a day?
Tell us right now, Chad.
Tell us right now. We want to know. So that's happening.
That's good job. I'm proud of you for being honest.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a real breakthrough moment in my life, and I'm being honest for the 52 people listening.
I know that so many people are giggling because it's just true. We all have that friend. I have those friends where I'm like, we have the same amount of kids, basically the same house, same phone. That's what gets me. I'm like, it's the same phone. You're not using
not only that. I've been
camera.
In your house. I don't remember this.
Yeah, totally. So it's all right. We're doing the best we can. It's all right, Banning.
Lots of times on the podcast, before we jump to the guests, we're talking about different things that are going on in our lives or, you know, because that's what people want to hear.
Absolutely.
They want to hear that I have a three-legged bunny at my house. But
they actually really do.
I just got back from Hawaii, and I know before everybody goes, oh, we feel so bad for you, but I just got back from Hawaii. I was teaching over there at YWAM Kona at the University of the Nations. I didn't go to the beach once.
Why?
I know.
Because you were too busy preaching?
Well, I'm actually over there doing the work of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Now, if you're going to be able to get good pictures, you should be able to in Hawaii.
I did go to a restaurant that overlooked a beach twice. But anyways, was over there, and I got to tell you, Andy Bird, he's been a guest on the podcast before. Two things happened to me. One, I was over there with him, and I don't know how to describe it, but there is something so inspiring that lights a fire in my heart when I'm around young adults who are just giving themselves fully and are going to be sent to the nations of the earth.
Yeah.
Like it's just something else. And I'm around these guys over there that are missionaries and they're going after it. Not all of them are going to be long-term missionaries, but there's something about it. You know, it's really inspiring. It's really encouraging too. Spent 3 days with this group, just diving deep on things too. Like we're just going deep into subjects and so hungry to grow and so hungry to be used by God and so hungry to be pure and to love the word. It's really amazing. But I came back from that and I realized, because Andy's a great friend, I realized that Andy was just with us a few weeks ago, but I was gone. He was preaching on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Andy's a missionary that we support. He lives in Kona, but he's raising up and they oversee what they call language learning, long-term missionaries. They see him around the world. He's about to put on a huge stadium gathering in Orlando in February called The Send around evangelism. But I thought I got to go back and listen to this podcast. And everybody, have you heard the weekly, were you there?
No, I was in youth.
Yeah, well, I hadn't heard it yet. And everybody's like, you should hear it. It's really powerful. It's on adoptive love. And so I'm in my car driving this morning to Sacramento to have breakfast with somebody, and I listen to it. And first of all, I'm in my car crying. I'm literally in my car crying as he's talking about these adoption stories that have happened in his family. And I'm just so stirred. And then also, he started out, though, with just talking about what God is doing around the world. And if you are not connected to people who have missions statistics, you need to be.
Come on.
Because he's the guy that got up, and it was something along the lines of 100 years ago, there were 3,000 unreached people groups, or unengaged, not unreached, unengaged, that they had never been engaged with the gospel. 3,000 around the world.
Wow.
So that means they didn't have any... There's no indigenous church there.
Yeah.
There's no missionary there. 3,000 unengaged people groups in the world. And now, in the last 15 years, there's been such a push that that's down to only 1,000 unengaged.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then he's talking about how every single language in the world by like 2025 or something is going to have a Bible in their language. He's just mentioning stats. That when you really get the, like, we just live in a bubble. We live in America. We live, other people are listening, not in America. Yeah. But to hear the statistics of what God is doing around the world, of what the church is doing around the world.
It's hope.
It's incredible.
That's amazing.
And it also really does something that goes, I'm alive right now in this time. And there is a bigger picture, and there's a bigger purpose than even I realize
That's
for
amazing.
What I'm doing on the earth. So that podcast, my time with him in Hawaii, of course, but then come back, listen to the podcast, the mission stats, his adoptive love. My heart has been stirred all day long.
It's amazing. It's such a different narrative than what we hear too, right? Because it's all bad news and everything's, you know, it can be overwhelming. We talk a lot about that too. You see things and you're like, wow, it's a daunting task to think about, you know, reaching the world for Jesus, but it's happening. So like you said, get connected to people with missional stats like that.
Yes.
Or you just don't know. Like that fuels me with hope. And then to, you know, where can I pray? How can I support, you know, be a part of stuff like that? That's amazing.
One of the reasons why as a church we decided to partner and really invite people to partner with Andy is that I remember the first time I got around him, he started talking about these unreached people groups. And I'm like, why? I'm never around people who are like literally going into the... you know, these places in the Himalayas or these closed countries around the world to go find this small village of people that have never heard the name Jesus.
Wow.
It's profound.
That's amazing.
I'm inspired from it.
I'm so glad. And we want to bring you things that are inspiring us. So it's adoptive love on the Jesus Culture Sacramento message of the week.
Yeah, on the message of the week.
I need to go listen to that. And Andy Bird's amazing.
And all of you should come to Orlando in February for the Send. It's going to be an epic, epic time. Well, listen, it is great to have, and I think we say this for everybody because I don't ever want anybody to come on that's not a friend, you know, but it's always great to have friends, people have impacted us, people that we love running with us, but it's great to have on with us Chad Veach. Chad, great to have you, my man.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Now, since Becky's on, if I had my way, we would literally talk sports.
Oh.
The entire podcast. I wouldn't mention one spiritual item the entire time.
Gosh.
We would talk about how deceived Laker fans are and how, you know.
Here we go.
You need to have your offshoot commentary podcast.
Yeah, I know. Here's the problem, though, is that anytime I get a microphone as a Sacramento Kings fan, we're like kind of the little kid. That's the Kings.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have
you
that
are the little
kid.
Brother. You are the LA Clipper. You're the yes. UCLA Bruin.
Yes.
But you're even worse. You're in Sacramento, that's Chad. That's not nice.
But we have this complex. We're like, hey, stop making fun of us. All right.
Oh my gosh.
So we're not going to do that though. We're actually going to talk spiritual things. Maybe a little bit of Instagram though. We just spent before you got on the call with us. One of the things I said was, I don't know. There's a handful of friends I have in my life, you being one of them, that everything they do on Instagram just is naturally cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so Becky and I would like, maybe off air, for you to do like a seminar. Is that possible? Some type of mentor program?
I'm convinced.
Oh, it's my whole life. It's my whole life, yeah.
We want a mentor program, not on even how to gain followers. Forget that.
Nope.
I just want an Instagram on how to make my kids in Target look unbelievably cool.
Yeah. I'm convinced you take night classes. That's what you I think you're like.
Oh, guys, it's L.A., man. It will change you.
It's L.A.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we do want to jump in. Listen, here's what I'd love to do. Can you give some context? Can you tell a little bit of your story as far as you're in L.A. right now, church planner, but even before that, give a little context of who you are, both in family and ministry leadership life.
Well, I graduated high school, moved straight to L.A. in 1998. To go to Bible college. I grew up in Foursquare. I went to Foursquare Bible College. And when I was 19, I got hired at this church to be the youth pastor. My first Sunday morning, we did Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, we had 17 high schoolers show up. I led the worship from piano, got up, did the announcements, received the offering, preached a great message, closed my message on the back on the keyboard. So that's kind of like how I started. I did that for like 5.5 years in East LA, inner city youth, which was, I mean, I'm a gangster, so they loved me. And then I went back to Seattle area for 10 years. So I was a youth pastor for, you know, well over 15, 16 years. And last couple of years before I moved to LA, I went up and was with Judah and just really kind of traveled. And my family went through a hard time with my daughter, my oldest. So kind of didn't lead any ministries, but just traveled out of Judah's church. And then when he was so kind, he said, "Hey, when you're ready, we'll plant you, you know, whenever you're ready to go to LA." So we did that 4 years ago. We moved to LA, and 3 years ago, we started our church.
Tell me why LA?
You know, when I left LA in 2004, I remember driving through Reading. Shout out to Rudy.
Yeah.
And
the bustling metropolis and, that it is.
Like who shouts out already? I remember my mom called me like somewhere in that NorCal area. And she was like, you know, my mom, I think is prophetic. She's like, "Hey, I know you're moving back to Seattle right now, but I believe you'll move back to LA and start a church and live there the rest of your life." And that was in 2004. And it was only confirming what I felt back in 2004. So I knew when I left LA the first time I'd be back, and I'd be back for good.
Has it, again, we planted 4 years ago, I guess, and people ask sometimes, like, you know, was it what you thought? It's been better than I don't know what I was expecting, but it's been an unbelievable ride. But has it been what you thought it would be? And I'm not looking for negative in this either. You don't do negative anyways, but I'm saying I'm not looking for negative. But the, you know, we're leaders. We got pictures of what it looks like in our head.
Right. You know, I think it's in some ways been exactly what I thought it'd be, because so much of this we've been doing forever.
Yeah.
And then in other aspects, it's like, wow, I really didn't see that, whether it be imprint or whether it be demand, or like, you know, when you're a youth pastor for, you know, 15 years, you don't deal with business.
Yeah, totally.
HR, cash insurance flow. And cash flow. Exactly.
Cash so, flow.
I feel like I'm like, you know, like a small business owner that's trying to learn how to lead it. Yeah. So in some regards, it's like, man, I've been doing this my whole life. In other regards, it's like, I have no idea.
You're like, wait, did the senior pastor, is this what they took care of? We sat inside one big church forever, so I never really worried about cash flow. I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. We'll get it back up. And now like, wait, no, that doesn't work like that.
And then the funny thing is, like, when I go to somebody's church that, like, has a building and stuff, I'm like, wow, you have a building?
This is unbelievable.
How did you do that?
Yeah, totally. I know. I feel the same way.
My heart gets tested every time.
Oh, totally. And then I'm around, the best one is I'm around guys who, like, have been given buildings.
Oh.
Like, they're full on, like, I'm at a place, I was just at a place, you know, a friend in Nashville, and he's like, yeah, you know, they gave us to us. It's 200,000 square feet sitting on 40 acres. We're driving by like a whole like 30 acres. I'm like, what's that? He goes, I don't know. We don't really know what to do with it. It's just sitting there. It's a field.
So happy for just, you.
I'm like, just so happy for you. That's amazing.
He's like, Bandy, that hurts my
God
arm.
God bless you.
you're hurting my arm.
Let me talk a little bit about this. I think that most everybody would know you. You know, the Lord and I've told this before, so encouraged by what God's done in you, both the ability to begin to influence at a large level, the people you've been able to influence, the amount of people, the imprint you've made, like you said. So many people would look at that and just really love that, but not necessarily know the foundational pieces that went into that. there are years of foundation. There are still, things that you have a value for, these unknown things of, that kind of are the foundation right. of your life. Could you kind of walk through that a little bit? Sometimes I think people look at stuff and are like, well, that's really cool, but are not actually attaching what you just described at 19 years old at this thing or being faithful at a church right. or whatever else it is. As you're talking to people, what would your advice be to them or even in your own life about the things that are those yeah. foundational pieces that nothing happens overnight? Nothing just happens. There's nothing. No overnight anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, I was having dinner a couple of years ago with Carl Lentz's parents. I was in Virginia Beach doing something and I was kind of, asking them kind of the same thing about, their son, Carl. And his dad said something. I thought he just phrased it so perfectly for me. He said, a lot of people want to look at the fruit of his life, but they don't really understand the root of where all this comes from. And I think, social media and so on and so forth and, a lack of proximity can kind of convolute that kind of stuff and go, wow, look at the fruit of something, but you might not understand the discipline or the root of it. I think number one, it's all grace. It's life and leadership to me is about just getting in your grace zone. The way God made you to function and then just doing that to the best of your ability. So whether I was a youth pastor in Puyallup and trying to get on campuses or whether I'm here in LA trying to get in different spheres, to me, it's the same hustle. We're just trying to reach people and trying to love people. And I know that there's disciplines and sacrifices I need to make on a personal level in order to have authority in those spaces. So I think it's all training and yet it's still training. It's not like, I always think about David, Psalm 78. He's on the backside of the desert and God takes him in one day. He's taking care of sheep and God takes him one day to oversee millions. And when he got there, it said he shepherded Israel according to the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. But where do you get integrity of heart? And where do you get skillfulness of hands? You get that on the backside of the desert, but you have to maintain that when you get, because if you don't maintain it, then you got Bathsheba's type stuff going on. So yeah. I think it still all matters.
What's your encouragement for people who are wanting to force or rush that process?
I can fall into that, right? As a church planner, I've tried to rush things. I've tried to force things. I think my whole thing is like, think about how good God is. We are so talented and so creative. If you want to, you can rush things. Mm. That's the unfortunate thing.
That's fascinating. That's a great point.
So we have to be aware that you can force things. Culture forces stuff. I'm in LA with people are forcing, networking, manipulating. You can force whatever. But I always think, is God's hand going to be on that? Like, is that sustainable? I love this Christine Kane quote. She says, if the light that is on you shines brighter than the light that is in you, the light that is on you will destroy you.
Wow.
So what happens if I make that shortcut, but I don't have the character to withstand the platform that I manipulated my way into? Or I don't have the character, the skill set, the experience, the integrity of heart. So I get really afraid of going like, I don't want to jump levels in this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to be right where I need to be and available and just take it one day at a time.
Man, I love that. Mm-hmm. Talk about a little bit. One of the things that I think I've always loved about you is one, your genuine love for people. Your genuine love for people and your genuine heart to walk with them. Again, I remember being at your place years ago and your youth pastoring and even sitting in your home and talking about like so many guys just want to be in the green room. They don't want to be on high school campuses anymore. They don't want to actually be out there. And you've always had a heart to walk with people and love them. Mature believers, immature believers, saved, unsaved.
Yeah.
Where's that core value coming from that just says, I want to love people and I want to walk with them as well. And all spectrums, all ranges yeah. of depth with Jesus or not. Where's that core value coming from?
Thank you for saying that. I think I just saw it modeled by my parents. There's a verse that talks about the temptation is to be a respecter of man. And when you fall into that, in other words, you always kind of prefer the rich or the famous over the normal guy.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't know. I grew up with a dad that was like, I watched him treat the plumber as good as he did, like the famous guy that was coming to preach at his church. And so when that gets modeled for you, you kind of go like, oh, that's how you do it. That's how you treat people. That's, I read that book, you know, and I try to read it all the time still, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I think it's just the greatest book in the whole world on people skills. Every person matters. You know, you can add value. You can make people feel important. And so when you understand that you have that opportunity, I think you got to take advantage of that. And so it was just very instilled into us. We're going to treat everybody the same.
You mentioned your dad and watching him. My parents are great. We're very connected, and they're actually really, they're healthy now. But growing up, it was, and they would tell the story, but a little dysfunctional. But I remember getting around people like Bill Johnson, different ones, and all of a sudden was modeled for me something around marriage or different things. I just was like, wow, is that how we do things? You mentioned learning a lot from your dad. How important is it that we have people in our life that we're actually watching them and seeing how to do things, whether they're known or not known, but that right there, like how they treat a plumber compared to how they treat somebody. I mean, that's been a shaping influence in your life.
Well, I always think, you know, we are a sum total of our influences. Mm. And I have the power. I get to choose who influences my life. Mm. So whether we like it or not, and the whole thing is like, you never stop being impressionable. All of us are extremely impressionable. And we're being influenced whether we realize it or not. So I just, when I started off in ministry, I started realizing I'm going to choose some really good influences in my life. People can call it a mentor if they want. That's fine. I always feel like I went to two Bible colleges. I went to Bible college, and then I went to traveling. And traveling exposes you. At the end of the day, what are we all looking for? We are all looking for a better way. Mm. A better way to raise my kids, a better way to lead my church, better way to build my business, a better way to preach, a better way to disciple. So you can't get that without exposure.
Yeah.
So I learned, you know, people skills or how to value people from my parents, but I learned generosity from other people, not my parents.
Wow.
And that's not to say they weren't generous. Sure. It was just that certain time, that certain person, and they have favor in your life, and then they become a voice in your life, and you're like, I'm going to let you teach me. So I think the exposure for any leader is such a big deal.
If we can kind of a little bit, shifting back to, you know, Banning said you love so well, love so intentionally, and you're on the ground in LA, a city that I think is safe to say culture has a lot of opinions about what LA is like. It's, you know, easy to have some preconceived notions, and there you are kind of in the heart of LA loving. I mean, it's not like it's no secret, right? It's a pretty secular culture, especially in LA. It's like the heart of where it's coming from. So what does it look like to be there in the midst of that, in the midst of a secular society, and love well?
Well, it's such an interesting city, right? It is the city of broken dreams. Mm. Everyone has moved here with a pipe dream of acting, modeling, filmmaking, bit entrepreneur, you name it, right? And there's a few elite that have cracked it, but the majority have been here 10, 12 years and it didn't happen. And by the way, when they showed up, the first thing LA did was destroy their values.
Wow.
So not only did I not make it in my occupation, in my dream, but now I've compromised. So it really is a city of a lot of brokenness, in my opinion. So we just tried our best to come in and love people where they're at and be a part of the community and be a student of it. I think anywhere you live, you should be a student of that environment, a student of that city. So we just try to, instead of being experts on it, just try and learn it. Just like, why do people act this way? What makes it tick? And how do you stay really holy and upright and righteous amidst a very aggressive city?
Talk about that. Go there for a second. In the midst of a very aggressive city, and I would say that LA is at the epicenter of that, but then the feeling of that aggressiveness on online or social media, in the midst of a very aggressive city, how do you stay righteous?
Yeah, I think, you know, it always goes back to, like, we'll call it the meat and potatoes, right? It always goes back to being in the Word of God, being in community, being in times of His presence. And I find that for me personally, it was easier to quote unquote spend time with God in the Northwest, which is moves a little slower and is suburbia, than here. I've had to fight a little bit harder personally to do that and be a little bit more intentional and not let my soul erode. And you could see it happen to people, right? And so every city, right? Like I just was talking to the team the other day, it's like, I want to do a whole, then 2019, a whole study on God of the city, because Jesus always addressed cities.
Wow.
Think about the dynamics of a city, the spiritual climate or the spiritual attack of a city. For some reason, LA pastors get exhausted here. There's not longevity for ministries. We can go back to the early 1900s from Azusa Street Revival.
Yes, yes.
People like Amy Simple McPherson, the burnout. And how do you be a Jack Hayford and serve a city for 35, 40 years and keep your spiritual integrity? These are things I think about, things that are on my radar, because I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, I got this, and then all of a sudden you don't got it.
Yeah.
You just have to work a little bit harder in some areas of the world, I think, than other areas.
How do you stay in that mode of just loving people well in a pretty polarized, toxic, divided environment? And again, maybe everybody, because of social media, is going to encounter this. But not even how do you stand for righteousness, not even all that, but how do you continually move towards and love people in a pretty divided environment that we live in right now?
Yeah. Well, I always think, you know, I remember, you know, years ago, people were like, do you have any unsaved friends? Or that was kind of like the knock on pastors. Like, do you even hang out with lost people? Like, you can't relate with them because you don't know any. And then I'm like, wow, LA's awesome because this is like, you know, you're just colliding with people from all walks of life and all journeys of faith all the time. And so that's really cool. I think I see it as just a cool opportunity and a privilege to encounter all kinds of people, whether they, you know, someone told me a story yesterday, we meet at a theater in West Hollywood, right? So this guy walks in, he's walking by our theater on Sunday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're in the middle of the third service and he's from Switzerland. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, it's church. He's like, I've never been to church before. He's like, I've always wanted to go to church.
Wow.
So this guy walks in, this girl, one of our team members, walks him in, stays for 30 minutes. He's like, this is unreal. He's like, I got to get to an appointment. He's like, but do you guys have any more services? They go, we have two more today. We got 1 at 6, 1 at 8. So the guy goes, I'm going to come back at 6, gets this girl's number, comes back for the 6 o'clock, comes to the whole service.
Wow.
Never been to church before in his whole life.
Never been to church.
Had another girl on our team. She tells me a story. She goes, I'm inviting this girl for 2 years to come to church. She's never been in her whole life. She comes to the 11 o'clock. Comes to the 11 o'clock service. She texts this girl on our team. She goes, that was the most unbelievable experience I've ever had in my life. She goes, I should have paid $50 for that ticket.
Oh,
whatever
gosh.
That guy does,
that's hilarious.
He's unreal.
That's
And so I just go like, it is a privilege. It is an honor to be in a context. I think when I picture Jesus, and we only have a few snapshots into his encounters with Zacchaeus or sitting with tax collectors, he's a wine bibber, he's a glutton, he's a friend of, like, I can only imagine, I think he's doing this kind of stuff. I think he's sitting down with people, they were irate that he went to Zacchaeus's house. Irate. Why? Because he's a jerk. He's a thug. And it's like, if we don't hang out with those people, I think I heard somebody say this years ago, I'm tired of being a part of a church that tries to shine bright in already bright places.
Mm. So good.
Like, so are we just now in competitive Christianity?
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
So
it's like, let's get to the spot where it's like, in LA, they don't know how to say it. It's like, oh my gosh, you have the best energy ever. Your vibes are crazy. Dude, your vibes trip. Like, what are you? Who are you? This is what I get in LA. In LA, they're always like, are you a rapper or a tech guy?
Yes. Yeah, you can both. Be a little both. Is it possibly
yes
both?
To both.
Yes
but
to
I'm
both.
Just like, I like LA because it gives me the opportunity to go shine really bright.
See,
in dark places.
Here's the positive thing about having 10 services on a Sunday. Because if a guy shows up halfway through, you could tell him, we got like six more, bro.
If that's your six if more. That's going to be your pitch to the team, it's not going to work. Is. I think it's so cool, Chad. I think it's so cool to hear, you know, like I said, man, it's easy to see LA in the news and on social media and complain about it and make fun of it or think, man, how hopeless. Like, what's God going to do? Like, how's he going to move there? And then to hear stories like, hey, just on any given Sunday, we are... people are just wandering into the doors like God is alive and well, hope is alive and well in the streets of Los Angeles. And that's the kind of stuff that you're seeing.
Yeah.
What is the old saying? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this guy came up to me the other day at a church service and he's like, man, staying in a hotel right now, Hollywood, looked over the city. I just thought, what a God-forsaken city. And I got this righteous indignation in me like, bro, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That's like, you're talking about. Back up.
Yeah, you need to step back, bro. Cause like,
yeah.
You just called my woman ugly.
That's amazing. Hey, Chad, tell us about your latest book, Faith Forward Future.
Yeah, Faith Forward Future was I really wanted to call this book God's Plan or God Has a Plan.
Some publisher somewhere said, yeah. Okay.
And then somebody in Nashville was like, well, Andy Stanley's dad already did it.
45 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But really, it's just kind of, you know, I wanted to prove all throughout scripture that no matter what you've done, no matter any failure you've had, what decision, the gifts and the calling of God is irrevocable. So it's called Faith for a Future because you have to have faith in God to move forward into your God-given potential, your future. But you can't have faith in self. You have to have faith in Jesus. And it's only in Jesus that you can discover the plan that God has for your life. So I'm really, you know, you write the first book and you're kind of like, whoopsies. And then you write the second one and you're like, it's a little bit better. So I'm more proud of the second book because I feel like as an author, it reads better, it's more digestible, and it's to me, a reflection of how I want to write.
I love it. Well, listen, everybody should go get it. We'll make sure to post on the website about it as well. You mentioned that part about whenever you write, Chad will get this, anybody who's written. I say this all the time. It's so interesting because we preach, and you're like, is it good or not? You're like, yeah, it was all right, but I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be on. You're like it just keeps coming, and like you don't feel anywhere as insecure about speaking. But man, the minute you write, because it's like your life poured out, and you did all this stuff, and then it is immediately evident if people want to. Like, they're like, did everybody like your sermon? I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is evident if they like your book or not.
And it doesn't. And it's not going to go away.
Yeah. And so I always. Yeah. It's not going away. It's still there. So I always feel like I just had a baby. I am not convinced this baby is cute. So if you tell me you think this baby's ugly, it's going to kill me. Like, I literally am going to be crushed. And so please, please don't tell me that you think my baby's ugly.
That's the process.
It's the realest thing ever. but I think, you know, I heard Max Lucado say this years ago. He said, you never have an audience more captive than when they're reading your book.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so I just go like, hey, I speak all the time, but if I really want to get into somebody's life and be a voice, I really got to pour my life into being an author.
Where books show up to, the hands they get into or how, it's really, really profound.
Yes, because how they get passed around. Or I saw yours at like a Goodwill the other day.
Yeah, so shut up.
Somebody sent me this video the other day. They were riding those little hoverboards through Matthew Perry's house. And this guy on my team was riding his hoverboard through Matthew Perry's house.
Who isn't, though?
And he goes into his kitchen and he goes, hey, look what I found in Matthew Perry's house. And he holds up Faith for Future. And I was like, thank you for sending this because at times I wonder if anybody's read it.
No, you don't. You're totally like, thank you very much. If anybody has a picture of them reading it, feel free.
Oh my gosh.
I don't care
if it's Matthew Perry or William Perry. Just let somebody named Perry read my book.
Somebody, please send me a picture of you reading my book.
I love the things that you said LA changes you, the things that become normal sentences. I was riding a hoverboard in Matthew Perry's house. Yeah, me too.
Totally. Just hanging out. So.
Same. Chad, thank you so much. Such an encouraging conversation. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Banning.
Oh, I love you guys.
Off mic, he called you Chadwick, but that's not your full
name.
I'll
take it. No, but that's my family. My family calls me Chadwick, and we are family. So
done.
Done.
Chad, thanks so much for being with us, man. We sure appreciate it.
Love you guys.
What a good interview. Honestly, there's never enough time for any of these people. It's like, I'm like, oh man, we could go another hour and just all the questions on questions. But I feel so encouraged. Those great takeaways. We are the sum total of our influences. Just thinking about that, like, oh, what am I allowing to influence me? Like, that is what's making me up. So good. And to hear what God's doing in LA.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
I think you can always tell where, you know, it's interesting, some of these harder places in the States that we would say are hard,
mm-hmm.
The Lord just keeps sending people. San Francisco's the same way right now, man.
Absolutely.
The amount of church planters that are headed into San Francisco, mm-hmm. the amount of church planters that are headed into LA.
Yeah.
I just think God's heart is for those areas, and the mm-hmm. areas that everybody else just kind of writes off or says are hard. And I really think God's, and it's not just because they're kind of cool and hip, because mm-hmm. it's no joke. Like going to San Francisco to plant a church, mm-hmm. it's not like cool and hip. It's no joke.
Yeah.
But I think God's sending some of his best mm-hmm. into these cities.
Yeah.
And his heart is for these regions.
And
so
what's cool
it's exciting.
To see is, you know, you just don't think about it until you talk to people like Chad who are on the ground, but that God goes before us.
Yeah.
And he is, like you said, his heart is for LA. So he is going to go with the church as they go into these places, and he's softening hearts and he's preparing the way for them. And just to hear those stories, so encouraging. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. As he was talking about, you know, some total of influences in your life, I kind of wanted to, in the middle of it, just say, you're welcome, Becky. You're welcome.
Oh my God.
I thought, Chad, that's a great point.
You are ridiculous.
You're welcome, Becky.
Well, we'll see if your Instagram pictures get any better.
Oh, God. Well, I have to actually do Instagram for that to happen.
Yeah. Well,
here's the problem. I go on like spurts of, I have no social media on my phone at all. I have no news apps on my phone at all. I have no anything. It's just so tied to your phone all the time.
You have binge habits with social media.
Yeah. I have no problem with admitting that.
There's a breakthrough for you. You guys can... You can connect with Chad on Instagram. I mean, if you already don't follow
You'll find him.
He's got, just look for the cool guy on
and
there.
And every post he does go, not as cool as Banning's, but.
And then Zoe Church in LA. And Zoe is going to be with us. The worship's going to be with us at My City Conference happening in March, which is going to be fun in Sacramento. And you can get all the stuff. If you just follow us at JC Podcast on Instagram, you can connect with us there. Send us questions, feedback, and more importantly, most importantly, leave us that 5-star review. We want nothing less than 5 stars. So there you go. Connect with us there. Until next time, we will see you guys later. We hope you enjoyed this show, part of the Jesus Culture Podcast Network. You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And for more information, go to jesusculture.com/podcast. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at JC Podcast.